I'm Brian McCreath. I'm at Symphony Hall with Jan Leschetsky, who's here with the Boston Symphony for the very first time. Jan, thanks so much for taking a little bit of your time to talk with me today.
It's a great pleasure. Great to be here. Thanks.
Chopin is one of the composers you're most well known for. And in fact, congratulations. You just won the Juno Award in Canada for your most recent Chopin recording. Congratulations for that. And I wonder, Chopin, I understand that you played his concertos when you were really young. So it brings to mind that idea that some composers need a little time to sink in to so that an artist can fully understand them. Would I be correct in sort of thinking that maybe Chopin was more naturally kind of part of who you are and that you came to understand his music very early and instinctively?
Well, seeing that I'm 23, I have to be of the opinion that my interpretations today are valid. Otherwise, I would be stuck in a studio practicing and not performing. It's something I really love. So I do believe, actually. I look back at the way I played Chopin back then, and of course today my vision is entirely different, and I think it's based on what I've learned, what I've seen, or just changing tastes. And that's something I hope continues through my life. And I simply hope and try to achieve that every performance is somehow valid and has something to say, that is not completely pointless and is something that is simply filler. That's the goal. And Chopin certainly came rather easily to me. It was, I never had to study phrasing in Chopin or understand it. It was something that just was there for me when I read the score. I still have that, actually. It's a wonderful feeling when you open a score of Chopin and read through it once, and you read through it the second time, and it feels, of course, the technical stuff isn't there. Don't take me wrong. It takes a lot of time to do that, but you already have this idea. It's like, yes, this is that, and there's that, and it all makes perfect sense. With other composers, that often I have to learn the notes first, and then you work on, okay, what's actually going on here? And that's also a matter of the compositions themselves. If you look at, you know, Ravel's Gaspard de la Nuit, you're not going to learn it and say, okay, in Scarbo, yes, I know exactly what's going on the first time I read that. Nope, no idea what goes on there. But in most, actually, of Chopin's works, you read it, and I think the basic idea is already there in the notes, and that's a wonderful thing. As a musician, I believe also the audience feels that. When they hear it, they don't need to hear it many times to start understand, to know the intricacies. It has this organic feeling to it, and I believe that that's one of the reasons that Chopin is so loved by audiences around the world now.
And I'm sure you get asked this all the time, so in a way I sort of apologize for asking this, but I have to, and I wonder if some of that natural, innate understanding of Chopin has anything to do with your parents and Polish heritage. I mean, it seems maybe too simplistic to think of it that way, but did your parents have some influence on how you came into music, and especially how you became to understand Chopin?
Of course, where you come from and your situation in life always influences what you do, especially in art. Doesn't matter if it's music or visual arts. But at the same time, being born in Canada, I've lived there all my life, and I'm very much a Canadian. Being a Canadian also allows space for being something else, for taking the culture, the heritage of a different country. And I'm also Polish, and I also have a Polish citizenship. I speak the language, I understand it, I feel comfortable in Poland, I have two homes. But being born in Canada, being raised there, and that's where I learned all my music and where I learned everything about Chopin and about Polish culture, I am not quite sure if I would say that being Polish has something to do with how I play Chopin. In fact, when I look at how the typical Polish students would play Chopin's music, it's rather different than how I play it, and I'm not exactly sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing or how to look at it. It's just a fact. It is rather different, and the Polish so-called Polish way of playing Chopin, it is rather different than what I do. But as always, the more knowledge you have to base your interpretations off of, the better it is. So knowing the language, knowing even the food, the landscapes, these little details of the Polish mentality, their nationalism, that sentiment of always longing, of always suffering for Poland, I think that most certainly helps. But at the same time, it's a knowledge. It's not really something that I've lived through and know myself. So it's perhaps one step away. And maybe that's why I see Chopin in a different way than people who actually live that on a daily basis.
Yeah, but that's really fascinating. It's really interesting to hear you say that, and it tunes our ears maybe a little bit even more to what you're doing when you play the first piano concerto. You know, I had the chance to talk with another great Chopin player, Garrick Olsen, last year, and one thing he said really stuck with me is that Chopin, if you're a pianist, he teaches you how to play the piano because of what he's asking you to do. And I wonder kind of if he strikes you the same way or if it doesn't feel quite the same to you.
Of course, Garrick would say, like, he's so humble. I think you really have to know how to play the piano before you sit down to Chopin. But yes, Chopin does push the limits of so-called the limits we have conceived, preconceived in our minds of what the piano is capable of, and also how to use the tools that have been given to us, how to use the pedal, how to use tricks to make lines actually sound long where we can't physically sustain a note. That those sorts of things most certainly Chopin teaches us how to do in his music, but he also makes it really easy to do in his music. You know, it's not something that it's necessary, but you have to go and learn a completely different language to start doing it. He supports it in this most incredible way, and I think once you've learned it in one piece, it's really easy also to apply to different works of his. It's not something that has to be reapproached for every period of his life or for every different genre he writes.
And I'm not a pianist. I know how to listen to music, of course, but my understanding is that Chopin's piano concertos are really driven by the soloist, much, much more than many other concertos that are more kind of divided collaboratively between the orchestra and the soloist. So does that make you feel, when you're asked to play a Chopin concerto, is there a sort of extra bit of freedom that you might feel compared to when you might be playing, you know, Brahms or Mozart or something where you've got to really kind of interact or understand and come to an agreement almost with an orchestra? Do you have that extra sense of like, well, I'm here and they'll follow me?
Most certainly it's possible to approach Chopin that way. It is, because it is a solo piano work with accompaniment of the orchestra. And I say that most humbly. I appreciate that they're there, but it is. That's how it works. That's how it was written. Which leads most often to the complaint from orchestra musicians that it's so boring, it's so terrible. Oh, such a great piece, but the orchestra comes. And I take a very different approach to it, because I believe that most certainly Chopin was a good composer, very incredible composer for the piano, and had very little experience with orchestrations, very little training with orchestrations. It was most certainly not his strength either. But what he did do in these concertos and the other pieces he wrote for piano and orchestra is use the various instruments and how he imagined them in his mind to add some colors, not to compete, not to pass on lines necessarily between the piano and them, but to add these colors. And to me, that doesn't actually give me more freedom than in a different concerto, because I want the musicians in the orchestra, I want the bassoon, I want the French horn, I want the violas when they have their solo to give me that extra color, and I listen for it, and I'm inspired by it, and it changes how I play. And that's what makes these concertos different from all of Chopin's other writing for the piano, is that you have this extra, and it's magical. It's really special, and it, also a reason why I enjoy playing this concerto over and over again, because every small change will have an impact on what I do. It's not completely unnoticed. It is, and especially if you make it so, and I try to do so.
I love that answer. Wow. You're making me hear this piece really differently. Thanks.
So.
Yeah. No, it's great. I mean, it's not that I don't love it already. It's just that you're giving me a lot to think about as I listen. Jan Leschetsky, I appreciate your time today. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you for your time.